Today in the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're going to do something different than our regular studies. Often on this Monday, I read from the Rockcliffe Review, but I'm going to do something a little different from that. I was recently asked to speak at the 42nd annual lectureship of the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ. Now, that is an assembly of the saints that meets in Indianapolis, Indiana. And for 42 years, they have held an annual lectureship in which they invite various speakers to come in to speak on assigned topics under some general theme. And the theme this year was Mountains and Valleys of the Bible. This lectureship is always held early in the month of November, and this was the lectureship for November 5 through 9, 2023. And so I was asked to speak on the under this theme, Mountains and Valleys of the Bible. Now, I have the table of contents here. What they do, they publish these lectures in a book. And you can just imagine some of the great lessons we had from these various places. We talked about the mountains of Ararat, Mount Seir, Mount Moriah, Jairah, Mount Gilead, Mount Abram, Nebo, Pisgah, Mount Horeb or Sinai, Mount Zion, Mount Jezreel, Mount Bethel, which was Luz, Mount Ephraim, Mount Carmel, the Mount of Beatitudes, and the Mount of Olives, Mount Calvary or Golgotha, the Mountain of God's House, which is the church, the Mountain of God's strength, the Mountain of God's righteousness, the Mountain of Trials, the Mountain of Wealth, and then the Valley of Siddim, the Valley of Hinnom, the Valley of Megiddo, the Valley of Despair, the Valley of Decision. And so I was asked to speak on two of these, and actually, because someone wasn't able to get their manuscript in, they asked me to present a manuscript on three of these, and they're published in this book. Let me read that to you. Mount Calvary or Golgotha. And here's how that lecture is published and pretty much how it went. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. These are the opening words to one of America's favorite hymns. It was written by George Bernard in 1913. Some say it was written in his home in Albion, Michigan. Others say it was completed and sung during a revival at Pokagon, Michigan. Others say it was first sung at a friend's church in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. Regardless of where the song was written and first sung, we love the song for its content. The cross was an emblem of suffering and shame. We read in Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Because of Jesus, that despised symbol became a symbol of glory. Paul wrote in Galatians 6 and verse 14, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Therefore, Bernard continued, "Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross." The ambiguity surrounding the place where the hymn was composed and first sung is a fit emblem of the ambiguity surrounding the location of that hill far away. Where is Calvary? Where is Golgotha? Was it a hill? Here are the text. Matthew 27:32-35. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and they compelled whom they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of a skull, they crucified him. Mark 15:20-35. And when they had mocked him and led him out to crucify him, and they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him to the place Golgotha, which is, being interpreted, the place of a skull, and they crucified him. Luke 23:32-33. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which was called Calvary, where they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. And then John 19:16-18. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into the place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. John tells us that Golgotha is Hebrew for the place of the skull. This is not the Hebrew of the Old Testament, but a dialect of the Aramaic that was commonly spoken by the Jews in Palestine at that time. While the distinct from the Old Testament Hebrew, it is the same family of languages. Why this was called the place of the skull is a mystery. It is said that a large skull was found there, and some have said it was the skull of Adam. Others say that when the sun shone on the side of that hill at the right angle, that the shadows in the caves and the bluff made it appear as the face of a skull. Others say that the Greek word for skull is the word from which we get our word cranium, and that the shape of the hill was similar to the shape of the top part of the human skull. This is why we speak of the hill of Calvary. It may have been a hill, but four times the Bible simply calls it a place. If the place was associated with a hill, the place may have been on top of the hill. But it could have been before the hill at its base. It may have been called the place of the skull because it was a place of execution. Executions were commonly done by crucifixion, as was done to Jesus, or by stoning, as was done to Stephen, and often by beheading, as was done to John the Baptist and to the Apostle James in Acts chapter 12. Beheading would leave behind a skull. For whatever reason, this was called the place of the skull. It is an ominous-sounding appellation, and it fits well with the ominous events that took place there. Luke does not use the word Golgotha. He simply says the place which is called Calvary. That is the King James Version. The word Calvary comes to us from the Latin. It was the word Jerome used in the Vulgate. It was carried from the Vulgate into the English text by Wycliffe, Tyndale, and the King James translators. In the Greek, it is the same word that has elsewhere been translated, the skull. Since the American Standard Version of 1901, the word is usually translated by the English word skull, as it is in other places it occurs. However, Calvary remains the favored word of the hymnist. We often sing of Calvary. I could not think of a hymn where we sing of Golgotha or the skull. Calvary was not far from Pilate's Praetorium, Mark 15:16, which is called the Hall of Judgment in John 18:28, and also the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha, John 19:13. It was nigh unto the city, John 19:20, where those coming and going from Jerusalem could pass by, Matthew 27:39 and Mark 15:29, and where they could pass close enough to read the inscription that was placed over the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, John 19:19-20. This is why some think the place was near a road rather than upon a hill. It was without the gate, Hebrews 13:11-13, and near the garden where his body was entombed in the sepulchre, John 19:41. Within 40 years of the crucifixion, Jerusalem was so thoroughly destroyed that it was, as Jesus said, there was not be one stone left upon another that should not be thrown down. Matthew 24:2, Mark 13:2, and Luke 19:44. Josephus tells us that during the Roman siege of Jerusalem, so many of the Jews were crucified that there was no room for the crosses and no crosses for the bodies. Flavius Josephus in the Jewish Wars. Jerusalem was left desolate, and those who knew the places where important events had taken place left Jerusalem to never return. It became a Roman camp, inhabited by veteran Syrians and Greeks who hated the Jews. 60 years after its destruction, Hadrian, the emperor, again razed the city and built a new pagan city over its ruins that he called Aulia Capitolina. He deliberately eradicated remnants of Jerusalem Jewishness. He built a temple for Jupiter, and just outside of the ancient temple ground, and here he raised a statue of Aphrodite. About 300 years after the crucifixion, Constantine, the emperor, sanctioned Christianity. His mother, now in her 70s, came to Jerusalem looking for relics. Inhabitants of Jerusalem, courting her favor, helped her find what she wanted to find. They showed her what they called the three crosses of Golgotha. They were able to identify the one Jesus died on by its healing powers. They even showed her a wooden plaque that said, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. They told her that Hadrian had built the temple of Jesus of Jupiter over the tomb where Jesus had lain, and had erected the statue of Aphrodite over the place where Jesus was crucified. She had the Church of the Holy Sepulchre built over this site. For over 1,700 years, this has been the traditional site of Golgotha. The church Constantine's mother had built had been destroyed and rebuilt and modified over the years. In 1867, Mark Twain visited this site and said that he had to keep reminding himself that Jesus was crucified out in the open air and not upstairs in a Catholic church. However, other than this quip, he wrote in an uncharacteristically reverent manner of the spot. To him, it represented the place where the cross stood, and he seemed convinced that if this were not the place, then the plaque must have been nearby. Mark Twain, Innocents Abroad, pages 560 to 573. In 1879, J.W. McGarvey visited this shrine. In his book, Lands of the Bible, he wrote, the actual site of Golgotha and the sepulchre cannot be determined with certainty, and no wonder, when we consider the number of sieges which the city has undergone, during which the entire surface outside was greatly changed and the walls repeatedly thrown down. He tells us that some favor a site just north of St. Stephen's Gate, and others a knoll a short distance from the Damascus Gate, and that many other conjectures have been advanced. McGarvey, Lands of the Bible, page 175. Modern visitors can still visit this shrine, and if they are willing, stand in line, they can be shown by the guides what is left of the alleged tomb of Jesus, and what they say is the very hole where the cross of Jesus was placed. This is the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're going to continue reading from Mountains and Valleys of the Bible in our next class.